broadcasting from the Great Allentown Fair. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call and the first of our three high school football primer shows from the Farmerama Theater. Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a little bit soggy today for the opening of the Great Allentown Fair, but we are here and we are glad you are with us. Unfortunately, our tradition is to have some cheerleaders and some bands performing because of the safety concerns and the weather and the slippery conditions here. They are not here tonight, but we hope to have them out here for the next two nights of our shows from the Farmerama Theater. But we do have some very special guests up on the stage, and an hour of outstanding high school football talk awaits. So let's introduce our panel from right to left across the stage. From the RCN Sports Department, Mr. Tony Coca. From EasternPAFootball.com, Mr. Dave Micah. And senior sports writer at The Morning Call and co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Groller. Guys, thanks for coming.
Great to be here.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for it was a tough day with the weather conditions, and people are slowly arriving at the fair, but it's great. The Allentown Fair is here. Thanks so much for coming. And I'm still trying to get used to the high school football season starting in the middle of August. I always like doing these shows and then having Labor Day and gearing up for the start of the high school football season. But we are now underway. We're going to be focusing tonight on the EPC South teams, EPC North tomorrow, and then Colonial League on our Thursday show. But I want to just go around the horn here and get everyone's thoughts from the opening week and the first high school football game. I know you all were out at least at one game this past weekend. So, Tony, we'll start with you.
Okay, my thought is that, again, I reiterate from last year, I think because they don't have that second scrimmage, we're not getting the quality games in the beginning. I really think when we saw the game this weekend, it was two good football teams. We had Central Catholic and Freedom. That's a game I saw. And I'll be honest with you, I think they needed another week to get ready. I know it's the heat acclimation. They've been going year-round, but still that second scrimmage would make our football a little bit more quality than it really was. And you look at some of the scores from the North and the South, and I think that's what you're seeing right now. We're missing out on that because of that lack of that second scrimmage and trying to find that hidden gem to put in and maybe have that lineup shuffle.
And that's one thing that actually the PIAA is looking at, that maybe to go back, that everyone will be doing two scrimmages. District 3, most of them do two scrimmages, so they actually will be starting next week. So it's technically week one for the whole state next week. So
last week is week zero.
Yeah,
it's one of those stupider things I've ever heard of. Really.
Heath, you were out at several games this
past
week.
I did three. I was at three ball games in 24 hours, and two of them were Colonial League games. And I agree with Tony. I think the offenses are ahead of the defenses. Usually it's the other way around, but because you can't tackle and have the contact that we used to be able to have, then you lose that second scrimmage now. I think the defenses are behind. I believe that five of the six winning teams in the Colonial League scored more than 40 points. And that's again, a testimony to the fact that the offenses are ahead of the defense. In the EPC, those crossover games, which we'll get to later, one-sided in just about every case. But I believe there was at least seven teams that hit the 40-point mark, something like that. So, again, it's offensive football, and it is a little strange, I think, to have games. Two games are going to be in the books here before this Great Allentown Fair closes shop on Monday night.
And I want to ask you about the disparity of the scores, too, because when the EPC first formed and it was Lehigh Valley versus Mountain for the most part, the word was, well, over time things will kind of smooth out and the North will come up to the southern level and so forth. I don't think the scores have gotten any closer so far. Do any of you guys see any improvement or an easy fix to not having blowouts across the board week one like we've seen the last few years?
Well, me personally, no. I haven't seen it yet. I know there's some new coaching changes up in the North area. I think when Robbie finally gets himself established up there, I think he'll turn the program into something. But I think the stigma of that area up there is not quite going to catch us. And I don't know, Chris, in my lifetime, if we're going to see that parity yet, because I'm just not seeing that quality of football coming out of the North. And please, I know I'll get a lot of hate mail on this, but it's just not there yet.
No, I that was my beat, primarily the EPC North, at least during the preseason. We didn't do it this year, but I made those tours. I've been to East Stroudsburg North. I've been to South. I've been to the Pocono East and West and so forth. And they work hard up there. They're good people up there. Jimmy McCarroll over at Pocono Mountain West is a good guy. He's a Marian Catholic guy. Mm-hmm. you know, typical Irish Catholic guy come from the coal regions. He brings a lot of fire. They work hard, but you're dealing with less kids. You're dealing with, in many cases, with what we deal with here in Allentown. The mm-hmm. demographics are such that the kids who are committed, who have great parents, who, you know, send you to the camps and give you everything you need to be a good athlete, aren't there in the Poconos. It's very similar to what we have here in Allentown. And so those kids, I believe, are just overwhelmed by and large. There's a couple good ones. That Melchiori kid from East Stroudsburg North was phenomenal last year, but there's just not enough for them to go head-to-head with a Whitehall, with a Parkland, with an Emmaus, and certainly the two Bethlehem schools in Easton. My gosh, it just, those kids, it's just a different culture, a different culture here in the heart of the Lehigh Valley, which is basically the EPC South.
And two programs that probably did benefit is Allen and Deerfield. They're probably the two programs by playing up there. You know, they'll get a win or two. When if they were playing down here, they may not get any wins.
People are looking for progress, and you saw the scores again. Now, again, the Canaries and the Huskies were arguably matched up with the two best teams in the EPC South. Allen got Parkland for the second straight year, and Deerfield got Emmaus. But look, at the there was some progress being made, and certainly it would not do anybody any good to put them back in the EPC South, which is what many people want. They're making some progress. The thing with Allen and Deerfield is they're doing some good work for the kids. They're keeping them busy. They're teaching them life lessons. Are they going to win championships? I don't see it coming anytime soon.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think that people are saying, okay, they're competitive in basketball and baseball, but football, you literally need 22 people. I mean, that's a lot of athletes, so you got to hit the halls. And if you're having 30 and 40 kids try out for your team where you should have 50 and 60, just the fine people, I think that hurts too, because until they can get that flip, and when you're getting beat up every week, kids are going to go, I don't want to come out there and get beat up. I can go play Madden football, and I'm not like going to have a concussion, mommy, because I'm playing this. And what happens is that it's a sheer numbers. Basketball, you need five. Not to be a wise guy, you need five. Football, you do need 22. And it may be the same, say, 18 that you have to share.
Now, again, I'll go back to it. I want to make sure I get this right here. Allen and George Clay was very happy. He had 30 to 40 kids in the weight room. I talked to George, and he said, I got 30 to 40 kids every day in the weight room during the offseason. Now, how many do you think Whitehall and Parkland and Emmaus and Easton had? Probably double that number. Yeah. And when they go head-to-head, that comes into play.
Well, what about Northampton? Because they're a team that have struggled a little bit. They have a lot of young kids. Do they benefit, or would they benefit by going up to the north as opposed to playing Parkland and Easton and Liberty and Whitehall for 9 or 8 or their – their 10 regular season games? Has there been any talk about having Northampton go up to the north?
I think they would benefit by it, but does the Northampton people, does the school district, does the community in Northampton, which is steeped in a tradition, do they want to do it? And I think that's one of the things Northampton has to fight also, is that we can go up there and maybe lessen and maybe get a few more wins, and that's good for the program, but they want that Whitehall, they want that Emmaus, they want that Parkland, and that's always a measure. Stick. I think when you go back to Dick Vermeil, when he was coach with the Eagles, he said, how do I build a football team? Who do I have to beat? I got to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And I remember when I was at Whitehall, I took that same approach. What's the team that I have to beat? I have to build my team to beat Parkland, because Parkland's just simply Parkland. Yeah. And I think that's what Northampton needs. You got to have that mentality to say, where do I build? Do they benefit up north? No question about it. But I think the community and the people in Northampton, they want that challenge down here. And it is a challenge, but it's something that Northampton people would want.
Well, Northampton, remember, I will say this about Northampton. They were the first to go. In the old EPC, they were the first to go. Mm-hmm. Out of here. We're going to the Mountain Valley Conference. A lot of people didn't like it. I didn't particularly like it. But they felt like they were not matching up at that particular time. And part of it is, and I hate to bring this up, but some people just don't want to compete with private schools. Okay, they just don't think it's fair. Northampton at that particular time was one of them, and I know Mike Schneider, a good friend of mine, a good man. He said we're going, and I think he led the charge. And then soon everybody left, and we had the split league situation. Okay, I think Northampton. Short term would benefit. They'd win some more football games, maybe get get some more enthusiasm, maybe get some better numbers. Long term, if you want to compete for a state championship, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do you any good to beat up in the North if you're going to want to. And that's where people make their mark now. It's not about the league anymore. It's at the District 11 level. It's the District 11 level where you know, like Parkland, perfect example. They lost like 3 football games, right, David, last year? They lost 3 games, but they were geared up. They knew they qualified. They knew they were going to be in there, and there they were as the 6A champion again. I think what also, and I'll be quiet here in a minute, but I'm very passionate about this issue. I've been following this stuff for 20-some years now, and we've seen leagues change and leagues come and go, and we think there's more talk of another league happening here down the road. But when you deal with the North, you're going to deal with some teams you could beat, but you want to put people in the stands. And Central Catholic and Bethlehem Catholic can speak to this. They know they're going to get more wins being in the North, but their attendance is going to go down because some of the people, whether it's North, Pocono East, Pocono West, they're not coming. They're not coming. And even Allen and Deere do not draw well on the road in football. Basketball, different story. The Canaries sold out the house this past year. But in football, there's not that following.
And if you want to be better, you have to play teams outside your league. You look at, and we were talking about this before the show, Archbishop Wood, they're playing their first 4 games are against nationally ranked teams, okay? That prepares them for the playoffs. And I think if you talk to any coach in the South, they would agree, you know, give us at least 1 week, maybe 2, that we could play teams from District 1. Yeah. We could play the St. Joe's Preps, the Archbishop Wood teams. And I think that's where, you know, that's where leagues will get better by playing better competition.
Any chance of that happening? Because I know, Dave, you're absolutely right. As soon as this new league came out, one of the biggest complaints I heard right away from coaches was we want at least 1 week to play out of the conference.
I think the coaches, if you put it to the coaches, they would be all for it. I'm not so sure the athletic directors would go for it. They're so worried about keeping everybody happy, and some of them don't even want to, you know, make that extra phone call to get it. You know, they're going to have to go out and find another opponent to play. And some of them will, you know what will happen?
They're
going to sign contracts, and they're still going to go across to the other division, and they're going to probably play some of the same people.
Like Easton and Parkland.
Easton will find the best possible. They're going to play a Coatesville or not a Coatesville, one of those CB West teams or something like that. They're going to go. And Parkland also will play it, and maybe even somebody from out of state. I mean, remember Becca had to do that in the old EPC when they were down to 5 teams. Becca played almost a national schedule. They played teams from Brooklyn. They played teams from Ohio and so forth. That, you know, some people really don't mind going out and playing people, but some, I think, do.
But when they were doing that, they were going to Hershey, and that's the problem. If we want our teams in this area to go to Hershey and compete for state titles, they have to play better competition. It's that simple.
All right.
You want to be the best, you got to play the best. Real simple.
Exactly.
All right, let me ask you about another key topic about the EPC South. We came out with our poll about 10 days ago. We had Parkland number 1, Emmaus number 2. And I heard from the Emmaus people, they were all upset. We're the defending division champs. EPC South Division champs, we have most of our players back next year. We should have been number 1. And then the morning call came out with your preseason predictions.
I prevented them from being. I voted for Park. Look at
it. But Emmaus, just to finish the story, Emmaus was number 1.
I live in that town, okay? You got to – where's my camera? You have to win. You want to be a champion. You want to be recognized as the champion. You have to get it done in the postseason. I know that you beat them during the regular season, but you were nowhere to be found in week, whatever that was, week 13. Look, you have a good football team, but you have to get it done in the postseason. Until you do, and I say this about some Colonial League people that have always clamored for respect, okay? You got to get it done in the postseason. All right, when you do that, then you get all the accolades, then you're going to be number 1 the next year. But until you do, right now, Parkland's a 5-time champion?
Yes.
5 times?
Yes.
And until proven otherwise, I have Parkland 1, and I have Emmaus 2. And that's the way, you know, that's how I feel about it.
And just for the record, Keith is saying this, just to finish my story, because the Parkland people were upset, I guess because of the RCN Sports Talk presented by the Morning Call. They said, how can the Morning Call have a different number 1 than what we have?
Well, because we're different people voting. I mean, it's just me and Miller on the Morning Call, and we have how many people in your poll?
7.
7.
Which is coaches. By the way, you can learn more on the website, rcn.com/rcntv. But Steve obviously picked Emmaus to finish number one.
Yes, he did.
So,
Well, it's basically what we think right now. I mean, obviously it's going to change. And if Emmaus beats a Whitehall, boy, and Parkland struggles, for example, with Nazareth, well, then maybe things change. But for right now, based on what happened last year, Parkland was the team standing in week 14.
Yeah, 14.
I mean, week 14, and Emmaus was done. And I know they lost their quarterback. And look, I know they're talking strong over there. They should talk strong. Harold Faircloth brought a new culture to Emmaus. But until they get it done in the postseason, I'm not buying in all the way.
Hey, you know, 6A, the road, you know, through districts is through Parkland. Yeah, they beat them in week 10, beat them in week 13, and move on.
And I think there's a lot of returning players that keep positions at both spots. Blake Reed, I thought, did a nice job. Took over for an injury. He came on strong. Especially his last three games was much more competent passing the football and much more proficient running the offense. They got five offensive linemen back. But then you look at Parkland, they have Jahan Work back, who's a great player both sides of the ball, Michael Ruiz at quarterback. So both of those teams have a lot of star players returning. Do you see any advantages among newer players coming up through the system with Emmaus or with Parkland?
No, well, I think what happens at a Parkland is that, and I've contended this as long as I've been coaching and following Parkland, they always have a great B team to practice against the A team. I mean, it's like it's going, you know, you read about the Eagles going one against ones, and that's what Parkland does, one against ones. They have enough people. And when you do, I think one of the things in the complaints maybe that the people have, I did the Emmaus-Parkland game. Keith covered it. You had it on RCN. And literally that game came down to
one foot. Oh, maybe 1 foot.
Yeah,
right.
1 foot where Worth basically didn't get in. But two evenly match football teams, two really good football teams that played. Emmaus won that one. If they played 10 times, it's probably 6-4, 5-5. And I'll be honest with you, a lot's going to tell me about Emmaus this weekend when they play Whitehall. Whitehall's going to come out with that offensive juggernaut that they have. Who has the better defense? I'm pretty sure Harold, and most coaches don't listen to us. Boy, you're going to get the hate mail by this one. I got news for you on this one. But,
I did for last week, and I didn't even say anything.
But I'll tell you what, the Emmaus is a good football program. Parkland's a good football program. They should be 1A. 1B if I want to take the easy way out, but I'd have to say right now I give the nod to Timmy Monsman and the Parkland Trojans simply because they're 6A champions 5 years in a row.
Experience.
By the way, we'll have Emmaus Whitehall live on this Thursday. You want to make another comment?
No, I was just going to say Parkland has the experience.
All right. So this is our primer show from the Great Allentown Fair, the first of three nights. EPC South night tonight. We'll have EPC North tomorrow night and Colonial League on a Thursday night. We're also going to have the cheerleaders and band out for our next two shows. So make sure you come out, watch the show live here in person at the Farmerama Theater, and then you can watch the show on demand or on replay or catch our podcast as well. So we'll continue with our high school football primer show. Tony Coca, Dave Micah, and Keith Groller. We'll be back with more of tonight's program in just a moment. Continuing on with opening night from the Great Allentown Fair, the first of three nights, RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call is coming to you from the Farmerama Theater. We're glad you could be with us. It's a little soggy out tonight, but we appreciate you tuning in to watch the program. This is the first of three primer shows from the Allentown Fair talking high school football, and our special guests on tonight's program, Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com, Tony Coca from the RCN Sports Department, and, of course, Keith Groller from The Morning Call. We're talking EPC South tonight, and just want to continue talking about some of the different teams and your thoughts from week one and as far as the rest of the season. Another team, they're certainly not in the talk of the elite teams this year, but we haven't talked about them in the last couple of weeks as opposed to Parkland and Easton, some of the other teams. I want to make sure we get some time talking about them, and that's the Freedom Patriots. The last few years, Jason Roeder, I think, has done a great job. After they were 2-8 a couple years ago, bounced back the very next year, got in the playoffs. They've been very solid the last couple years. They have quite a few returning players, but it seems the old thing about it, Freedom doesn't always get the respect they deserve. They're not in that talk among the elite teams.
Well, let me go back to what I said last segment. They don't get it done all the way in the postseason. They have not won a District 11 championship.
They've been close, though, the last few years.
But to me, they don't put banners up in your gym second or third. If you win it, they're going to put a banner up in your gym. And Freedom, and I feel for Freedom, because this is the same. We cover basketball, you and I. Yeah. We see the same thing a lot of years in basketball.
It's in all sports with freedom. They get overshadowed quite a bit.
I think they broke through in baseball.
You would think that because they got to the championship in baseball, and the very next week they were in the playoffs, and they weren't predicted to win districts, which some people were upset about. Here they go to a championship, and the next week they don't get the respect.
Not to steal anything from Chris Berman, but he has those but schools. And for me, freedom is that we win in the summer in basketball, but we can't get it done in the winter. We win 8 or 9 regular season games, but we don't get it done in the playoffs. That's what I'm – they're the but school. Jason Roeder, I was on that sideline. You know, Tony's on the – he rules the one sideline, so I had to go to the other sideline on Saturday night at Crum.
You need a special pass to be on Tony's side.
And I really am impressed. You get to learn a lot on those sidelines, I'll tell you what. And I love the command he has of that football team. He rules the roost in that sideline. He's constantly motivating. He's constantly getting after his kids. I love that. But anyway, I like them. I think they're going to win a lot of games. But I'm not invested in them as being the team that's going to be standing there, you know, week 13 going for another District 11 championship.
All right, Freedom was the number 4 team in our big school poll preseason a week ago. Tom and Dave, Tony and Dave, help me out a little bit here. Show a little love for Freedom here. Don't they belong in the top 4 conversation, top 4 in the big schools?
No question. I think Jason is probably one of the better coaches in the Lehigh Valley. Very intense. He knows the game of football. He commands the sideline, commands his kids, commands his coaching staff. He does a great job. I think, and again, I'm just going to go by what Tony Coker sees, it's a numbers thing. I don't have 1 against 1. I got a 1 against a 2B. And so what happens at Freedom, because of they have great skill kids all the time, but the trench kid, they don't have enough of them. And I think what happens is that the Freedom kid is a very good skilled, and they beat you on the skilled people. They don't really play a lot of smash-mouth football. They run the ball well, but it's a lot of stretch. It's a lot of zone. It's a lot of read-type, gap-read-type offense that they run. And so what happens, it's a different type of ball, and he builds his ball club based upon the fact of how big, you know, you take a look at the good, the Parkland kids, you look at their linemen go down, and their backsides, they're all wearing size 40 jeans, and so their backsides are there, and so they're plow horses, where you got a difference. You have a quarter horse type lineman at Freedom, and so their offense is geared, and Jason does a great job doing the offense that he has. He's a good coach, but when it comes down to when you get late in the season and you really got to be the Clydesdales and have the push because of the weather changes and a whole bit, that's where these teams start to falter. And the Parkland just has – it's a numbers type thing situation. That's my personal and honest opinion on the whole thing.
You know, Freedom's always going to be one of those teams that's a top 4, top 5 team. But you're right. You know, if you don't have it on the offense or defensive line, when you get later and later in the season, it's hard to win. And I think that's what his problem has been in the playoffs. But he does have, you know, star players. I mean, this is probably the year that wide receivers are the stars of the South. And he has a good one in Alex Hortez. And, you know, that kid – first team.
Player. Watch the Jenkins kid. I was impressed, Tony. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Central got after him. I know it was only one game. Central got after him. He admitted to me after the ball game, Mr. Groller had some jitters. But he hung in there, and it was not a pretty first half. They had one drive. But the second half, he came out there, and they moved the football effect. I think they wore down Central a little bit up front. But I was impressed with Jared Jenkins. I think that's only a sophomore, first career start. I know they had the Joe Young era, tough act to follow, very tough act to follow. But I liked what Jenkins did. He threw 3 touchdown passes. He wasn't zoned in. You know, one of the biggest things, kids just zone in on one guy. He was moving that ball around. He threw 3 touchdown passes to 3 different kids.
He has a good command of the offense for a sophomore. Now, you're going to get the butterflies when you go out there that very first time. And I think even the Jod kid from until he got hurt, I mean, I really felt that both the quarterbacks were very poised for being underclassmen. I liked the Jenkins kid. I thought he had good command. Every now and then he got rattled. And one of the things you want to do with a kid like that, if you're a defensive coordinator, just come at him at angles that he doesn't know about. You want to put a helmet in his ear. I know you shouldn't say that, but that's bottom line. You want to rattle him. And I thought he kept his composure pretty well.
And I think the first half, it was just a little fast for him. I think the second half, it kind of slowed down for him. And that's why you saw that, you know, he threw those touchdowns.
All right, another team that definitely deserves to be mentioned in the top teams in the EPC South. They're not a 5A or 6A school, but Bethlehem Catholic. Javon Clemens, returning quarterback. Four returning linemen are back. Great wide receivers. Day-Day Rhodes leading one of several running backs that got quite a bit of time last year. They had some blowouts, and Coach Haas last year, and now Coach Henrik this year. In the previous year, when they had those blowouts, they got some of their younger players some time. The numbers are down there, but they've done an awful good job the last few years of having success with the players they have. They bring back some star people. They lost a couple really key linemen, but most of those guys are back this year. So Bethlehem Catholic, I would think, is going to be one of your top or two or three teams in the EPC.
A lot of confidence in that team. You saw that last year when they got into the playoffs, and the young kids that were playing, the young ball players, they maturated, and that maturation is going to pass over. The biggest concern that I would have had was how do we go from Coach Haas to Coach, from Coach Henrik to Coach Haas back to Coach Henrik, and they transitioned well. Kids are very resilient, and it's just a matter of can I buy into the system and stay with the system. And I think the Bethlehem Catholic team, they could play with just about any level team that's out there. Could they play week to week to week in a 6A competition down in the Suburban One League? I don't know. But here in the Lehigh Valley, they're playing in that situation where they can play with our big boys week to week to week.
And by playing in the Lehigh Valley is going to prepare them
for the postseason.
Exactly. Because for 4A, you know, you look at 4A, obviously last year they played Emeltep, played them right to the fourth quarter. And again, you know, I think their goal is to play in this league, play good competition, win districts, and try to get a rematch with Emeltep this year.
One thing I did cover, Becca, when they were coming out of the North, and then when they beat Central in the 4A semis, I picked them up, and I had them beating Saucon in the district final, and they won two ball games in states and then lost in the thriller in Imhotep up in Northern Lehigh. They play with a chip on their shoulder. Yeah. They know that a lot of people don't like them, okay? Same deal with Notre Dame in the Colonial League. So you can either go into one of these, oh, why doesn't everybody like me? Or you can want to stick it back in the ear of the other schools. And they played with that chip on their shoulder brilliantly last year. They couldn't wait to take down a Parkland. They couldn't wait to take down Whitehall. They failed. They couldn't beat Emmaus. And that's going to be an interesting matchup, I think, coming up next week. But they played with anger. They played with passion. Now, can you sustain that for 2 years in a row? Because most people thought last year, Chris, they were going to struggle. They were going to scuffle in the going back to the EPC South. Well, they proved them wrong, okay? Now, can you sustain that anger, that passion, that determination? I think they can. I think they have enough talent. But here's the deal. Football's all about revenge. These coaches, they don't miss a trick. They don't miss a trick.
Why are you pointing at Tony?
Well, he didn't miss anything either.
No, he didn't.
But every motivational possibility they can use, they're going to use. But now all those people they beat, the Parklands, the Whitehalls, Liberty, they're going to want to get back at them. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think they're a very talented football team. No matter what, even if they go 5-5, 6-4, they're probably going to qualify, and they're going to make a deep run in 4A.
And last year they went 6-2 in the league. So that's pretty good for people that thought they would struggle.
Yeah, in the division. And a lot of times, too, and I said they got to play younger players, too. And I think that's a great talent. You know, you don't run up the score. You play the younger guys. You get them some experience. So a lot of their younger players or first-time starters, they have that big-time experience. They played in some of the bigger games against Parkland and Whitehall and Emmaus and so forth. So I think those younger players are going to step in and fill those gaps. I guess the big question is, can they keep everyone healthy? Because that's when they were 6-2 in the division last year. They had some injuries, which they didn't use it as an excuse. I certainly think it hurt them in one of their losses that they were without some of their key defensive players too. But
well, it hurt them in the center, the first Central Catholic game, and they got some people back for week two, and it was a different story. Yeah. You know, when they were really decimated by the time they got to Central in week 10, and Central really put it to them. Central played. That's a great rivalry. By the way, people who think that they're like in lockstep, Central Catholic and Bethlehem Catholic, have no clue. Those two schools despise each other as much as anybody. That may be the best rivalry in local sports right now. And Central played with a lot
of
emotion.
So the holy war is for real? They really
absolutely
don't?
Central Catholic really took it to them in week 10, and Becca returned a favor in the more important game, which was the District 11 semi.
See, I thought that was the thing just TV people made up to sell sell subscribers too. Would you put Becca in the top three?
If they were a big school, I'd say yes, that they can play with the top four that we have there. Could they beat all four of them if they had to play them week to week to week to week? No. But if you gave them, like, we're going to play Emmaus this week and then have an off week, a North team, and then play another one, I think that there can be very competitive. Over the long run, again, it's numbers. I keep harping on that because that's what high school football becomes about. You know, people talk about, you know, the NFL cuts down to 53. Those are the best 53 in every team. You know, I remember Danny Copen said, "Hey, coach, I'm the best, one of 32 centers. I should be paid one of the best." And so when you talk about numbers, high school, if you got those teams that have like 70, 80 teams, I got a lot more to pick from. There's going to be some talent. And I said it on the air on Saturday night. The teams that we saw with Central and Freedom Friday are not the same teams we're going to see 4 weeks from now. There's going to be a lot of tweaking goes around, and that's why that second scrimmage to me is so important.
All right, this is our high school football primer show focusing on the EPC South tonight. Again, EPC North coming up tomorrow, and the Colonial League will be on Thursday night. Again, we hope to have the cheerleaders and bands for those shows. Again, they are not here tonight because of safety concerns because of the weather. We're going to continue the EPC South talk with some more teams in just a little bit, including Easton and Whitehall, coming up after we take a little break. But right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I got to tell you, I wrote about this a little bit last Friday morning. I do a little prediction thing on my blog, and we put it out online, and people can take their shots. I don't know how I did this week record-wise. It was probably dismal. But what I wanted to point out is the beauty of high school football. And I'm a little passionate that we get talking about these teams. But the beauty of high school football is that the entire community still comes together. I experienced it at Palisades Friday night. I experienced it again Saturday afternoon at Penn Argyle. And then again at J. Bernie Crum Stadium on Saturday. It's a wonderful thing that brings the cheerleaders out, the bands out. We're looking for seeing them here tonight, but even your two fans left us. What the heck happened, Chris?
They had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, wow, it's been a long visit. But anyway, let me get back to my grumbling.
I think they were Emmaus fans, too. They left when you were ranting them.
Yeah, I guess. But my grumbling is, look it, no grumbling. Get out there. It's a wonderful thing. The community comes together. I know we have our gripes about this school and that school and so on and so forth, but high school football, it's still the one place where we can come together and enjoy a great community activity. And in this world where everybody's fighting and we're, you know, either liberal or conservative or Democrat or Republican, you love Trump, you hate Trump, whatever, it's great that we can be Hornets, Zephyrs, Canaries, Huskies, whatever the case may be on a Friday night. So I encourage you, watch the games on RCN, but also get out to as many as you can as well. High school football, still a great, great sport.
And make sure you get the recaps at themorningcall.com. Quick public service announcement. The Miller Keystone Blood Center and RCN are teaming up for some high-speed life-saving activities at the Life is Better Blood Drive. It's going to be going on tomorrow, August 30th, at the Bethlehem Donor Center for 13 straight hours, giving back to the community and saving lives, featuring special treats, prizes, and more, and some of your local favorites will be on hand. Sign up at giveapint.org/RCN. giveapint.org/RCN for the Miller Keystone Blood Center Drive, teaming up with RCN. And again, more information and to sign up at giveapint.org/RCN. Check it out on Wednesday, August 30th. More of tonight's show in just a moment. opening night at the Great Allentown Fair 2017. We're glad you could be with us. A whole week's worth of events from the Great Allentown Fair and the first of three RCN Sports Talks presented by The Morning Call coming your way at the Farmerama Theater and on RCN TV. Welcome, everyone, back to the show. I'm Chris Michael. Again, if you are watching us or are looking for some of the opening ceremonies, some of the other activities were postponed or moved to other locations because of the weather today. Cheerleaders and bands are not performing here tonight, but keep watching RCN all week long. We're going to have some special performances from the Farmerama Theater coming up over the next several days. And, of course, come on out to the Great Allentown Fair and experience it yourself. Our special guest on the program, Tony Coca from RCN, Dave Mike from EasternPAFootball.com, joining Keith Groller and myself. I want to mention Whitehall and Easton, two of the teams in Nazareth, too, we have not mentioned as of yet so far. Should we start with your old stomping grounds, Whitehall? They've lost some key people. They have a brand new quarterback, but they have a lot of people coming back. And the reports were that Mr. Parvell, the new quarterback, did very well in summer camps and training drills. So hopefully for Whitehall fans, he's not going to miss a beat running the offense.
Yeah, from what I gather in all the 7-on-7s, that they just blew everybody away. Now, I'm not big on 7-on-7 because you don't have somebody coming and breathing down your neck all the time. But Whitehall's offensive line, which is like their three-year starters, that's like a godsend to Coach Gilbert. The big question mark on Whitehall is going to be defensively. You know, how does Mike Yadish take that defense and turn it into a defense that can stop somebody? The test is going to be Emmaus. I'm not to be a wise guy about the Pocono Mountain game this week, but I think, you know, Robbie's just getting his feet wet up there. Give Robbie a year or two and that program hopefully will turn around and be the cost leader up in the north. But Whitehall right now, they're coming home. It's a home game at Zephyr Park. I mean, everything's set up for the intangibles are Whitehall's way. The revenge factor with Emmaus last year, it's a Whitehall rivalry, the home crowd, the whole bit. RCN's going to be there. We'll be covering it. And I hope they have good pizza up in the press box. But all the
I'm not there, so you can have a couple extra
thank
slices.
You. Well, I can't have it. I'm on that new restricted diet now. I only eat fish and chicken. But anyway, I think the Zephyrs are obviously 5-8 are the team to beat. That's out there, you know, and they do catch that break that they're already in districts already. That's a break. So my point with Whitehall is they're going to contend for the EPC title as far as they can go. But the minute the EPC title falls off of their table, they can start preparing for that run in the District 5A, which in turn is what
probably
like
Archbishop
said.
Would.
Yeah, and well, that's what you want to do. You're going to have to beat that team. So if I got 3 weeks to prepare for Archbishop Wood instead of 1 week, it makes a big difference in there. But I like the Zephyrs a lot. I think the Zephyrs they're always a quality act, a bunch of hardworking blue-collar kids over there.
I will say this about Whitehall. They can't win in this regard. And when I'm talking about districts, that's why with most schools, it's about the league. I'm sorry, it's about districts. For Whitehall, it's really more about the league. Because they're going to be playing in a four-team tournament. And last year, you know, so they won it, and they beat East Stroudsburg South. No, North,
Southern Lehigh.
North in the semi. And then
Southern Lehigh in the championship.
And it's like, well, you're supposed to. You're Whitehall. You're supposed to win. They couldn't really gain the pure joy of saying, boy, we really went out there and, you know, there was snickering probably going on at Parkland and Emmaus and some other places, Northampton and so forth. But it's a good good football team. It's a good program. I don't think this four-team deal really helps them.
Well, that could change next year, right?
Well, we hope there's going to be some tweaks and the enrollment's going to be spread out differently, that we could have a different look to the whole thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're talking about the Super 6 conference or whatever that – you know, that might change the classification, that you might see more teams dropping down the 5A, which, you know, like Nazareth, I think they were like five kids away from 5A. Yeah. So a team like that could drop down the 5A. So we'll see. But, you know, you look at Whitehall and you talk about Des Boykin, not only one of the, you know, top receivers in this area, but also, you know, in the state. And he's a guy that you got to get him touches, whether it's putting him in the Wildcat, screens, you know, the more touches, the better they do with them.
Another team that's going to be interesting to watch for several different reasons is Easton. Brand new coach taking over there. They had a resounding week one victory, but they have five tough games in a row. They got they're running the table pretty much as far as the top teams. I believe Parkland, Parkland, Freedom, Liberty, Whitehall, and Becca the next 5 weeks. So a lot of positives, a lot of people saying positive things about Easton so far. But they, you know, if you lose one or more than one or two games, the fans can come out and turn on you in a hurry. So what are you guys expecting from Easton in particular for this season, but especially over the next 5 weeks here with some tough teams coming up?
Well, it doesn't matter who's coaching there. They're expected to win 7 to 9 wins, and I think they could do that this year. I saw them scrimmage against Coatesville, who's a very strong team down in District 1. And what stood out for me is the size of the receivers. Mm-hmm. They're going to give teams fits in the red zone. They have tall, tall receivers. I mean, I saw three guys over 6 foot, and that's where they might get some mismatches, and that's, you know, I think that's going to be one of their strengths is when they get in that red zone, they're going to score a lot of points.
From all accounts, Mike Blouse, I was on my radio show. Mike Blouse, a freelancer for the Morning Call, covered the game, and he said it really didn't look very, very much differently on offense. So I don't know how much Bredo tweaked things from what Schiffert was running. To me, you don't really go away too much from what was working for all those years. I will say this. I think I might have said this on this show last week. This is on the kids. I think the kids, I didn't want it. Most people who know Steve Schiffert didn't want this to happen the way it did, certainly. But I think the kids kind of maybe wanted a different approach. The parents down there seem to want a different approach. So it's on them now. I mean, I think they're going to maybe try to show that the change was worthwhile. To me, it really wasn't. I thought Steve Schiffert did a great job and represented that program as beautifully as you could possibly do. And he took on that challenge of that 3 games in 9 days every year like it was nothing. But I think it's on the kids down there to show, hey, look, we kind of wanted a different approach, and now we got it. Now we're going to make the most of it. We'll see what happens.
Do you think they benefit because Steve had so many injuries last year? He had to play freshmen and sophomores on the line, which is almost unheard of at Easton. But a lot of younger players, 9th graders and 10th graders, got quite a bit of experience. Do you think they can benefit this year? And those younger players, as sophomores and juniors now, already having some varsity experience, do you think they can take their game to the next level?
Oh, no question about it. Once you get that experience, you're under fire. You know what to expect. The game moves very quickly, and what you want to do is bring the game down to your levels. The difference between a JV game and a varsity game in high school football is a big difference, and I think that's where Coach is going to get the benefit of it. Philosophy wise, probably a little bit of Steve, and just waiting to sort of add my ingredients to make my soup a little spicier. And I think that's what Coach is going to do. I think Scott needs to sort of work on that right now. He's there. Hey, well, it ain't broke. I'm not going to try to fix something that's not broke. But what I need to do is I need to sort of customize it, sort of put the flames on the side of the car and make it go a little bit quicker.
All right, Liberty's another team. We're going to be hearing from some of the Liberty Hurricanes in a moment, but they're another team. I think there could be in the mix. They've had some success, but to me they've been inconsistent the last couple of years. Do you think they can kind of piece everything together and put some more consistency together this year?
I think this year is a perfect time for Coach Truby because they're under the radar for the first time in about 4 years. They don't have that stud here, stud there, stud there. Now they got a good mixture of good athletes. And so what happens is that he can fly under the clouds right now, and I think that's a blessing to Coach Truby because it's a lot of pressure on you. You know, when people expect you to win, let's face it, it gets a little bit tight on you. You're miserable at home. You're miserable with your family. You're miserable with your staff. My wife used to say to me, when you were expected to win, I hated you. I hated the way you came in. My coaches would say the same thing. You're the most miserable human being on the face of the earth. And I think this year, I think Coach Truby gets to fly a little bit, and he sort of gets to enjoy that flight. And he has a team. He knows he has a good team. But guess what? I can fly under the radar because there's not a lot of press putting it.
Well, he can fly under the radar, even his own city. I would think Becca and Freedom are the teams that more people in the Christmas City are talking about. There might be the third going into the season anyway as the third wheel in that city. Now, we'll find out a lot more. I mean, this got great matchups this weekend. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those weekends where I think you guys and I know Tony would love to be at 3 or 4 different places, and I certainly would love to be. And that Easton Liberty game is going to tell us a lot about both teams. It's at Cottingham. It's not on the turf. It's on the natural grass. The ghost of Cottingham might resurface. You never know. And that's going to be a fantastic atmosphere down there. I think it's meeting 101, somebody told me. 101 in that series. I think they had the 100th meeting last year.
All right. As I said, we're going to hear from the Liberty players and John Truby in just a second. And also, we're going to talk about Nazareth. You're going to be hearing quite a little bit about Nazareth, quite a lot about Nazareth over the next couple nights here, but we'll touch on them in just a little bit. But our own videographer, Alyssa Scheckler, was out at a bunch of local high schools getting some interviews. You can see more of those interviews on the RCN website at rcn.com/RCNTV. Here's a sample of some of the Liberty interviews she collected.
Team looks like they're really improving from last year. Things are really hitting well. The line's really looking good. Last year we struggled, but we're really coming together. I think we're going to really compete in some games this year.
We work hard. We're filling gaps from last season at positions that we need to fill. Our coaches are doing a real good job getting us ready, and we're just doing our best to keep the intensity up and practicing as hard as we can.
This is a very tough league to be playing. There's some really, really good football teams. I think anywhere from Team 1 to Team 9 can really do some damage in the South. We just got to hopefully just stay healthy. If we're able to stay healthy, I think we have a really good shot to start pushing for district berth and really making sure that we have a say in who's going to be in the district finals this year.
We're all just treating every game as the most important game of our lives, and we look forward to every game equally.
Some very close games last year that we lost, and I think we're going to get some revenge this year and have a real nice long run into the postseason.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our final segment from night one here at the Great Allentown Fair. We'll be out here on Wednesday and Thursday nights. We hope you come out to the Farmerama Theater and see our show, along with some other very special events going on all week long here at the Great Allentown Fair. Final minutes of our show. Tony Koch and Dave Mica, nice enough to be here on a rainy evening for day one at the Allentown Fair, along with Keith Groller and myself. We're going to be hearing and seeing a lot of Nazareth. We're going to have the Nazareth band out here tomorrow and the Nazareth cheerleaders, weather permitting, on Thursday.
We got Nazareth in the house tonight.
And I'm sure Mindy Heimbach will want us to talk about Nazareth in more detail when she's here, because she has a bone to pick with one of our RCN staff people. She got into an argument last year, and she turned out to be right. So she deserves some bragging rights here on Thursday. So we'll get to that later, but not to ignore them completely tonight, Mr. Nazareth softball, Tony Koka, Mr. Nazareth resident, Dave Mica. People love you in Nazareth. Keith Kohler.
Not really.
The Weave.
Well, one person likes you, Nazareth. Thoughts on the Blue Eagles this year? Big win week one, too, for them against Pleasant Valley.
Well, you know, I think it is a big win. It was they lost the year before. So, you know, they have the new stadium there. They have the new turf, the new scoreboard. So it was a big crowd. And, Jahan Dotson's back. So there's a lot of good things going on that night.
You got a kid like Dotson who's been recruited by every major college in the country. I mean, you get him the ball, a ball player, real simple. Get him the ball. I mean, I used to say it all the time. There's a coach down in Florida who was coach of the year. He gave Emmett Smith the ball 50 times a game, and it makes you a good coach. But I think the Blue Eagles, again, it was the perfect storm for everybody last year. It's going to be interesting as the season progresses. If they stay healthy, and one of the things that they were not the last couple of years was healthy, if they stay healthy, they'll be reckoned with.
Well, they're in for a culture shock. They're going against Pleasant Valley, and Pleasant Valley was a good football team the last couple of years, going back to Jimmy Terwilliger being there, but they have never played really good defense. So now you're going against, 50 points aren't going to happen for the Blue Eagles this week against Parkland. But I think they're in for a good season. I can't remember one guy turning around the perspective of a program the way Dotson has. Nobody was talking about Nazareth back in the spring. Nobody was talking about him at the end of last season. But this young man has just energized that team. He's energized the community. He certainly changed perceptions. Maybe go back to Austin Scott at Parkland and that state title team for one guy having such a great impact. For the people of Nazareth, I hope he continue it. I think he's going to struggle this week at Parkland, however.
And he's classy, too. He's professional. Good he's kid. Nice to talk to. Very good kid all the way around.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, teams are going to try to double and triple team him. So who's the guy that's going to help him? Well, that guy could be Zach Kiefer. He's a guy that if he's having a big year, that's going to help Dotson. And then the young quarterback, Anthony Harrison or Harris, you know, he's a kid that you might see him throw more and more as they go. You know, that's probably the two players that if Harris and Kiefer have big years, that's really going to help Jahan Dotson.
All right, Stone Cold Lock prediction time. This is where our panelists guarantee something in the world of sports comes true. We're talking EPC South tonight, so if you can, make a Stone Cold Lock prediction for the EPC South, or if you want to say the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, you can do that too if you want. Philadelphia Eagles, by the way.
Stone Cold for Tony, you're going to see Parkland Emmaus in the District 11 6A final.
Ooh, good one. All right, Parkland Emmaus and a winner?
I'll save that for the week.
Oh. Well, we got to have you back on the show when we get closer then. Dave?
Well, mine's going to be outside of the league. I'm going to go with Class 5A. My Stone Cold Lock is Archbishop Wood, Harrisburg, rematch from last year where Wood beat Harrisburg. That's the game that everyone wants to see.
You're going to get the Whitehall people mad in that 5A for picking Archbishop Wood. Keith?
Well, my Stone Cold Lock has to do with my good friend Tony Coca, who I'm very happy that he's healthy again. We gave us a little scare.
You back gave in him his, the scare, all that stress you put on him during softball season.
Oh, yeah, right. All the pressure that I put on him. But look it, he said he's on a special diet. I believe him. He talked about a 40-inch waist. You got to be lower than that right now. I want to get down to the 30s once in my life again, too. But anyway, I bet I could buy that man. I could entice him. I know he's on a special diet, but if we go up here to the Brass Rail Stand, I bet you I could buy him a cheesesteak, and he'd eat it.
Go up to those wraps in the fair. It's delicious. They have buffalo chicken.
Inside the building?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's there. It's there all year long, but it's great to check out at the Allentown Fair. Go treat us all there. It's worth it.
You're the king. You're the host.
All right, time to go. My thanks to Tony and Dave for being our guests. We'll be back here tomorrow with another special edition of a high school football primer show from the From Rama Theater at the Great Allentown Fair. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.